As you can see, I'm not Dr. Dean. He called me at 9 o'clock last night, said I'm not going to be there today. And so I say that because I don't want you to have high expectations, right? See, that's the whole thing. But of course, no, you know, I said, man, I'd be glad to help out, do whatever. So I'm here this morning filling in for him. But, you know, I feel like God has a word and a message and even some healing for you this morning in this message. Because, say it with me, the battle belongs to the Lord. Who's it belong to? I mean, I want to get this settled right off the bat here this morning. The battle belongs to? Does it belong to you? Who's it belong to? Are you catching a theme here? Okay, good. Good. All right, it's going to aggravate me all day, but that's okay. I'll get by it. Battle belongs to the Lord. Do you know we are in a spiritual battle, right? It's not flesh and blood. It's a spiritual thing. We can't see it, but it's there. And we attack it, and we fight against it in the spiritual realms. It's a battle for our beliefs. It's a battle for our hearts. It's a battle for our minds, our faith, our character. It's a battle for our spouses. It's a battle for our kids. It's a battle for our families. It's a battle for our church. And I don't mean just this. I mean the church. And if you've watched the news at all lately, you know the church is in crisis across the world, across our denomination. It's a battle. It's not a physical battle. That is a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual battle. It's a battle for our community. We're going to start out, and if you want to go ahead and turn to it, it'll be up on the screens, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. And it tells us that finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So the battle belongs to who? Because we've got to recognize that we are in a battle. See, there's three R's here that are real quick I'm going to share with you. First one is we need to recognize we're in a battle. If you don't recognize that, you need to get on your knees and start saying, God, show me. Because you're probably not fighting it correctly. You know, if you look at your circumstances, you look at things going on in your family, and you're trying to solve it from a physical perspective, you need to get on and say, God, show me what's really going on here. Because I promise you there is a spiritual root, something that has gone wrong, and it's in the spiritual realms, and that's where we have to fight it. So we have to recognize we're in a battle. We have to resist the devil and his schemes. That's what it says there. So we can stand firm, means steadfast. When he comes at us, we can stand against those things. They don't knock us down. They don't cause us to fall. And that's not a passive thing where we just stand there and, okay, I can take this. Boom, boom, boom. You know, like if you're in a paintball thing and you walk out there and people just start shooting, you stand there and take it. I've seen people do that. It's really stupid because it hurts. No, this is a stand firm. We can take it and we can be steadfast because we have God's word in us and we can counter the wiles and the schemes of the devil with his truth. Okay, that's what it's talking about there. So we recognize we're in a battle, we resist the devil, and then we rejoice in the victory that God's already won for us. Now that's one right there that I think we fail at as much as anything else. We like to walk around in our gloom and our doom. We like to look like we've been weaned on pickles. And I can look out here this morning. No, none of y'all have that. But we have victory. And when we worship, we're worshiping because we have victory. We sing praises to God. It's because we have victory. So recognize we're in the battle, resist the devil, and rejoice in the victory that God has already. We'll come back to this scripture. But I want to take you to one of my favorite stories, in the Bible, and it has King David, or actually the boy David. It was before he became king. He was anointed, but hadn't taken the throne yet. So if you want to go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel, or you can follow along on the screen. And I know most of y'all in here probably have heard the story of David and Goliath. Well, I'm not really going to do the story of the Goliath part. I want to do the part before this, right before he actually takes the field of battle, because there's a lot we can learn here. There's a lot we can be encouraged about if we read through this. So at this point, David, where we pick up here in 17 verse 31, at this point, David's already been anointed king, okay? He's a kid. He's been anointed king by the prophet Samuel. David also begins to serve in King Saul's court by playing his harp to calm the evil spirit that's tormenting Saul. Now, Saul was the people's king. He was the one they wanted, but it wasn't who they needed. Okay? He was what the people wanted, but it wasn't what they needed. He had the appearance of a leader, but not the heart. You ever been around people like that? You ever had bosses like that? They're in charge, but they just have like no integrity or no character. Saul was the people's man. They wanted a king. God gave him a king, but it wasn't what they needed. He had the looks. He was a big man, but he didn't have the heart. So they got what they deserved. They got a ruler, but not a servant leader. Big difference. It's different to have somebody that rules over you versus somebody that leads you and guides you and shepherds you in there. What does Satan try to do to us? He tries to rule over us, doesn't he? What does Jesus do? He's our shepherd, right? Lead us, guide us. So big difference here between what they got and what they really needed. And that kind of gives you a little idea about Saul. But David goes back and forth at this time between tending his father's sheep and serving Saul. He gets sent to the front lines, and y'all are familiar with this story, because his dad wants him to take some food to his brothers and find out get the word about what's going on with the war. So David hears Goliath. While he's there, he hears Goliath. Now, Goliath is this big giant of a Philistine, basically about 9 feet tall, roughly, and he's down in the valley. You got the armies on both sides, one over here on this mountain, one over here on this mountain, and they're down in the valley, and Goliath comes out there, and he starts taunting the Israelites. He starts yelling at them, basically profaning their God, talking about their God in a bad way. And David is at the camp, and he hears this, and he wonders, why is nobody fighting? And here's this little redhead guy. Now, he wasn't super small. I mean, this dude had taken on some lions and bears. We'll see that here in a second. And he watched sheep, and, you know, he was pretty handy. But he wasn't big enough to be in the army. He wasn't as big as his brothers. And so here he is going, what in the world is going on? Why aren't we taking this guy out? He is talking about our God. And he just kind of looked at him like, shut up. You know? Basically, that's what they said. Excuse me, you're not old enough and mature enough to know what's going on here, so just keep your mouth shut. Let's read this so we can get into this here. And 1 Samuel 17. So he's just kind of said, what in the world's going on? Why aren't we doing this? They rebuked him. He said, when the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul. So he got reported on to the king, who was back in his palace, and Saul sent for him. So David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Are you getting the picture here? This dude who shouldn't have any business, according to anybody else, is the only one that's being willing to stand up and say, we got to do something about this guy. So then Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. What is King Saul seeing here? So we're automatically, right now, we're seeing two different perspectives on this situation, aren't we? David sees nothing but a guy out there who needs to have his tushy whooped and get beat down and be killed because he's talking bad about God. And he sees no reason why it can't happen. What does Saul see? sees a kid. What else? He sees a young teenager who's unqualified, who's weak. Saul is looking at the physical. He's looking at the outside, and he's operating out of fear and ego. Because tell me, where should Saul have been here in this picture? He should have been at the front lines, right? But what was he doing? He was hanging out, had a little pity party back at the palace, wasn't he? Not much of a leader, was he? So here's Saul hanging out, operating out of fear and ego. What's going to happen if I go out there? If I get made to look bad, what are the people going to think about me? All those physical, prideful things that come into play in our lives sometimes. What are people going to say? What are they going to think? What if I look bad? What if I take a stand and I fall? All the while forgetting what David sees, and all that David sees is, God's got my back. That's all David sees. He doesn't care about his size. He doesn't care about his height. He doesn't care about Goliath's height. He doesn't care about how menacing Goliath is or how many people or men are on the Philistines' army. He doesn't care anything about that. Why? Because he knows one thing, and one thing alone, is that God has got his back. God's on his side. Meanwhile, King Saul is freaking out. Just a few chapters before, we saw where God told Samuel, all these brothers look great, but don't look on the outside, look on the inside. God looks on the inside. God looks at the heart. All Saul sees is what he can see with his eyes, but God's saying, look, I look at the heart, and I see this young man. Let me tell you something. How many of y'all like playing sports at all when you're in maybe grade school? Wasn't those great days? Just great times. Yeah. If you were a big kid, it was great times. If you were a smaller kid, it probably wasn't such a great time. Because when it came time for recess and it was time to pick for kickball or dodgeball or something like that, who got picked last? Been there, done that, my friend? Who got picked last? The small kid. Why? Well, we don't want him on our team. He's a liability. Let me tell you something. If God were to come on the field like that, he would be the worst picker of teams. You know why? He'd be like, hey, let's get the little fat boy right there. Come on, be on my team. Come on. I know you got a waddle over here, but that's all right. Come on, I want you on my team. You know, and he'd be like this girl over here. Come on, finish your nails later. Get over here. Get on my team. I need you here. It's okay, I'm coming. Just got to finish my nails. No, come on, get on my team. People be like, he's crazy. He's not going to win anything. Look at the team he's putting together. Because as humans, we look on the outside. If we're not careful, we don't look through God's eyes. We look on the outside. We look at human potential. Let me tell you something. God does not look at human potential. God is not looking down at you this morning going, let me see your human potential. Let me look at you and, oh, okay, yeah. No, he is not looking at human potential. God is looking at what you would be like if he was to bring you on his team. That's what he's looking at. Why? Because if he brings you on the team, that means he's in you, he's with you, and he's going to work through you. And then it's not based on your potential. It's not based on your strength. It's not based on your skill set. It's not based on your giftedness. It's not based on how good you look or how ugly you look or anything like that. It's based on what God can do in you and through you when he brings you on the team. Now somebody should say, glory. I'm just saying. We should have an invitation right here. I'm just saying. Because some of y'all have lived your whole life going, I wish I could be on the team. I never get picked to be on the team. Or I'm never going to be used by God to do anything. I don't have what he needs. He's not looking for anything I got. You're right, he's not. He's looking for what you would be if he was inside of you. That's what he's looking for. He's going, are you willing? Are you willing to surrender? That's what he's looking for. All right. I got to have some help here. Can I get a extension plug? My iPad's about to go dead. And it's my notes. And if I have to wing it, it's not going to be pretty. We'll just do it, end it right now. There's the that over there. I just need a plug to plug it into. Anyway, sorry about that. So God doesn't look at human potential. David sees and hears the Lord God of Israel being profaned. David has personally experienced God's protection and believes that God will take care of him. David operates in the strength of the Lord for God's glory. He operates for his glory, not for his personal ego. He operates because he wants God to be glorified. And he knows that God is in him, God will work through him, and there is nothing that he can't face if God is with him. If you flip back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, we see that the Apostle Paul reinforces this idea. He says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the strength of his might. That word in there is very, very important. It doesn't say be strong in what you can do. It doesn't say be strong in what God, in the strength that you might have or in your abilities. It says be strong in the Lord. This is an indication of our heart in the position of our faith. Is it in Christ? That word in there is, we have to check ourselves. Whose authority am I under? Because it's in his might, his strength. I can't do it my own. Verse 37, back in 1 Samuel. So David said, and this is where that experience, that experiential faith comes into play. That experiential times and walk with God shows itself right here. David says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Again, God's got my back. So what does Saul say to that? Who's still looking from the outside? I have to imagine that this was a very sarcastic thing that he said here. Go and may the Lord be with you. Okay, so he spent the whole last bit of his dialogue with David saying, you can't do this, you're too small, you know, you're not equipped, you can't do this. David's like, I can because I walk with the Lord of hosts. He's got my back. So I was like, okay, well, go. May the Lord be with you. That nice spiritual answer. Have you ever given a spiritual answer with an ounce of faith never not behind it? You ever done that? You ever just thrown out a, okay, God bless you. You're like, inside you're going, I ain't going to bless them. That ain't happening. But we're in church, so I guess I'll be nice today. You ever said something spiritual? Have you ever tried to sound spiritual with total unbelief and doubt in your heart? I have. Man. People come in for counseling. You know there's no way it's going to happen. But yet you're trying to encourage them, and it's hard. And you have to really check your heart and say, you know what, I do believe that God can heal this situation. Even though it looks hopeless, I serve the Lord of hosts, and your situation is not hopeless. Because it's easy just to give out that super spiritual flippant answer and not believe it. And I believe that's what King Saul did there. And we see that it's the truth because what does he say? The next thing Saul does, what does he try to do? Instead of just letting him go, he says, oh, okay, well, wait a minute. You need to put on my armor. You need to put on the king's armor. Which, if it's the king's armor, why isn't the king wearing it? Ding, ding, ding. It's a good question. Why isn't the king out where he needs to be? Again, Saul, operating out of fear and unbelief and pride, and listen to this, he's trying to solve a spiritual problem with a physical solution, isn't he? He's trying to correct a spiritual ailment with a physical solution, physical medicine. It's not going to happen, is it? It's not going to happen. He's trying to fight with the man-made, the physical weapons of this culture, instead of believing what God's trying to tell him through David. Do you think Paul is Saul is feeling a little inferior here, a little insecure? Here's this guy who's this little dude willing to go out and fight. But yet, he's not. So then Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with his armor. Keep going. David girded his sword up over his armor, and he tried to walk, but he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, "Look, man, I can't use these. I've not tested them." And David threw them off. You cannot fight the battles wearing someone else's armor. What does that mean? It means you cannot fight your battles wearing someone else's armor. That's what that means. Okay. You can't wear someone else's testimony. You can't wear your parents' faith and fight your spiritual battle successfully. You can't even wear yesterday's word, because you're supposed to live fresh and get a new word, a fresh word from God. You can't live on yesterday's manna, so to speak, and expect to win the spiritual battles. You can't fight someone else's reputation and win the battles. You have to wear your armor, the armor that God has designed for you. And this thing's charging. Oh well. David says, "I cannot go with these." David knew that he had to wear what God had already given him and provided for him. He knew that he had to use what God had given him that had already been victorious in his life. Killing the bear, killing the lion, his sling, some rocks. Because it really didn't matter what he had in his hand, because God had his back. The title of this message was what? The battle. Okay, so I don't want you to forget that today, because if you walk out of here and you forget that, this is just all for nothing. The battle belongs to the Lord. David knew that. He didn't need the armor. He really didn't need anything, because he knew God was with him. What are you fighting? What battles are you fighting right now? You see, giants aren't going to fall until we've been willing to answer the call to surrender. See, David had heard the call. He had answered it. He knew where his strength lied. We get frustrated because things seem to overwhelm us in our life, but it's because we're trying to fight the battles with our own strength. David had heard the call. And it didn't matter how many giants there were, they were all going to fall. Now, I'm just saying to you this morning, you're probably fighting some battles. If you're like me, but where's your strength coming from? See, over in Ephesians, we see that there's an armor that God's made for us, and that's a whole other message in itself. But God has given us weapons and armor to use so that we can stand firm, so we can fight the way that we've been called to fight, so that we can take his word and put it into us, so we can prayer and all those things that you can read about that are part of the armor. all of them supernaturally come together. And it's about Jesus. It's about Him having our back. It's about placing our faith and our trust in Him. And this thing died on me. If you have the scripture, if you can look it up real quick, just the there in 1 Samuel, the little speech that David gives Saul, or gives Goliath when he goes out onto the battlefield. Do you ever get discouraged? Anybody? This culture's loud, isn't it? I mean, it's like screaming in our face everything that goes against our belief system, doesn't it? Telling us we need to accept this, we need to accept that, we need to be tolerant of this sin and that sin, and we should take this into our life, and if we had this, we'd be more successful. Man, every day, it's a spiritual onslaught against us. But let me read to you what David said when he faced his Goliath. Well, here's what the Philistine said. Come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. Pride goes before a fall, doesn't it? What's David say? David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He didn't lay out all his credentials, did he? He didn't lay out everything that he had brought. I brought my money. I brought my reputation. I brought all this neat stuff, all my things. No, because they don't matter when you're fighting Goliath, do they? He goes, you know what? I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day, the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And He will give you into our hands. Folks, I'm just telling you. When we can come to a place in our journey and our faith in God that says, you know what? No matter how big these Goliaths are, check this out. I'm taking you down in the name of the Lord because the battle belongs to Him. You're not fighting me. You're fighting the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. That should be what comes into our heart. That should be what comes into our prayers. That should be what comes into our proclamations. That today, this day, the Lord of hosts has got the battle. The battle belongs to Him. Some of y'all need to soak that up this morning. Because you're looking at things and you go, I don't know how in the world I'm going to get past these things. I don't know how I'm going to get past this circumstance. It's insurmountable. It's not. With the Lord of hosts, it's not. Maybe you go, you know what? I don't know the Lord of hosts. I can't. Do it in His strength. I can't do it in His might because I don't know Him. Seems like every step I take is a step in the wrong direction. Seems like anything that comes against me knocks me down, tears me up, beats me up. There's no victory at all. Well, maybe, just maybe, you need to say, God, I hear the call. I hear You calling me, and I'm going to surrender to You this morning. This day, I'm going to surrender. Because I want this day to mark the day, the beginning of letting You have the battles. I want to know You. I want to surrender to You. I want to quit holding this to myself, trying to do it on my own. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you don't know Christ personally. Maybe you don't have, like David had, that experiential relationship of walking with God and being protected by God. It's a sweet place to be. Or maybe you're just saying, you know what? I needed to hear that God can use me no matter what. He picked me to be on his team. So I'm going to quit worrying about what everybody else says. I'm only going to worry about what the King of Lord of Hosts says about me. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we want to just confess this morning that the battle belongs to the Lord. Can you just say that with your head bowed? Just confess that. Just say, the battle belongs to the Lord. Say it with me. The battle belongs to the Lord. Maybe we need to start our prayer life this way. When we get down on our knees, Father, we thank you. God, we just confess that the battle's yours. And we're going to let go of trying to prove that we can handle it, that we can do it on our own. God, that's just pride. That's just selfishness, just like Saul. Father, you look at our hearts. Father, look at us this morning. God, I thank you that you look at our hearts. If you're here this morning and you don't know God at all, you can't fight the battles. You can't be in the battle. You've already been taken captive. You've already lost. But there's a God who has the victory, and he wants to set you free to be on his team, to be on his side. And if you don't know him this morning, would you just slip your hand up? Because I want to share him with you. Is there anyone here this morning that says, I don't know God because I don't have that kind of victory in my life? Maybe you're here this morning and say, you know what, I'm going to let go of some things. I'm going to let go of those trying to do it on my own, trying to win on my own. Father, we love you, and God, I just thank you that, again, that the battle belongs to the Lord. Father, may we fight in your strength. May we learn to walk in your way and in your wisdom and in your might and in your power. God, may we learn to walk in victory. The victory that you've won for us on the cross. You're such a great God. We thank you so much. And it's your amazing name we pray. Amen and amen.